Well, greetings, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and along with a very special guest that we have on today's broadcast, we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. And today we have a very special guest, a longtime friend and the author of the Outlaw Preacher series of books. His name is John Andrews, and John, we welcome you to Basic Gospel.
Thank you. Great to be here.
You're looking forward to our time together, and yes, Richard, I
absolutely.
Know you are as well.
Yes. Well, all this month, we've been talking about the five key things that came out of the Reformation. The Bible alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, Jesus alone, and to the glory of God alone. And today, we get to talk with John, and you might wonder, what's all this theology stuff about? Okay, Scripture and grace and faith and all this stuff. When life comes at you, this is what makes it work. We're going to talk about issues here that are in his books, life experiences. If you didn't have the Scripture and grace and faith in Jesus and knowing that it was all for God's glory, this whole thing would be a train wreck. It really would be. And so that's it for my monologue today. This is real life stuff. And as much as I like to talk theology, I much prefer talking real life experience. And John's had that. He writes about it. And so my first question, my friend, is, you know, why are you here? You know, you consented to come talk with us. Give us just a touch of your background. What is it that got you moving towards writing books like these?
Well, I mean, we started out with a bad start, really. Drugs and alcohol for years before I met the Lord. And I came to Christ through a motorcycle ministry. And I think the story of the Outlaw Preacher started to percolate in my head early on. Mm-hmm. I was sharing with you before that this radio broadcast cleared everything up for me. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to kind of reach out with these characters, what I call conversational evangelism, and just write real life.
Yeah. And that's the key phrase for me as I've read these books, real life. And as the books, there's four of them now.
Right.
As the books have gone on, to me, the life has gotten more and more real, mm-hmm. because the protagonist of the book, James, he's dealing with it. He's dealing with life. And this most recent book, by the way, before I get too far along, tell them how we can, people who are listening can get these books now if they're interested.
I don't know what protagonist means.
The guy anyway, in the white hat.
Yeah, friends, if you'll go to our website, basicgospel.net, right there on the front page, you'll see all the cover for all four of John's books. The first one, of course, The Outlaw Preacher, then the Miracle, then Redemption, and then the latest book is called The Reckoning. And we encourage you to go there, click any of the links right there on the homepage, and it will take you to the author page, and you can order the book right there. And gosh, I certainly encourage you to do that. I have thoroughly enjoyed these books. They have been very meaningful. They have been very encouraging, and I just really, really support the idea of getting a copy of every one of them. Read the entire series, friends. Again, go to basicgospel.net, and all the books are listed right there on the homepage.
Yeah. So, how real life is it? Well, the current book, The Reckoning, starts off with a train wreck. I mean, you find out that something is happening. I'm not going to give it all away. Something is happening that shouldn't be happening. Now what?
Now what?
Now what? So take us through your thought process a little bit of what you're trying to get across by telling the story as directly and as real as you do.
Well, I started to get more comfortable as the books went on with disaster.
Comfort with disaster.
I want to ratchet this disaster up a little bit more and more because, you know, some of the people I know, myself and others, have gone through some stuff that's not covered typically on Sunday from 10 to 11.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of questions out there about, you know, what happens? Does God really love me even though I'm this or I did this? And I saw a void, and I still see a void. where that's just not talked about. And whether it's suicide, addiction, loss, I mean, we all face, you know, a lot of this stuff, and there's nowhere to turn. You know, too often, the phones are busy. Not here, of course. You can get right in. But I remember in my unsaved life when I would pass a church that was closed, and I thought, that's ridiculous. Why are they closed? It's Tuesday. Maybe I need to go talk to somebody on Tuesday afternoon. You know, yeah. You could come back on Sunday. Well, you might not make it to Sunday.
That's true.
So, you know, some of my characters don't make it. You know, I was told by a good friend here in Dallas that, you know, not everybody goes to heaven, bro. That kind of helped me finish this book. Was what happens? What if you don't fit in the lines? And I got more comfortable with the disaster, like I said, and, you know, dealing with this kind of stuff because, I mean, I'm not saying this is theologically perfect, but it holds up. You know, it's a grace message.
Yeah.
It's a grace message.
Yeah. So give us a little bit of an overview about who is the outlaw preacher and, and you know, where is he from? You know, where is he going?
Right.
Does he know? You know, that sort of thing.
I know my wife is listening right now.
Yeah.
And she thinks that I'm the outlaw preacher. Honey, I'm not the outlaw preacher.
Not true confession
no,
time.
No, a fictional character. He's crazier than I am. I dreamt him up. But he's a guy who thinks a lot. In the very beginning, the first book, he's released from Folsom Prison. He goes in an outlaw. He comes out a saved outlaw. He meets the Lord in prison. He leaves those gates and doesn't know what to do with himself. And, you know, that's where the adventure starts.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to hang around with your old hoodlum buddies again because you're a new creation. But this new creation thing is just words until you internalize what this new creation means. Your identity is different.
Yeah. What next?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's where this thing got. I take artistic license.
Quite a bit, but oh, that's okay.
There's some real people in this book. You know,
uh-huh.
The names are changed or not. Depends.
Things
started to take on a lot more life. You know, what was a cameo appearance in the first book leads to, you know, inclusion throughout the series. And, you know, now some of these clowns want, you know, movie rights. And, Can I play myself in the movie, man? No, there's no movie.
So just so our audience understands, when John uses the word outlaw, he's talking about a member of a motorcycle club who is on the outer fringes of legality, shall we say. I grew up in Southern California. From the time I was in the first grade, I knew who the Hell's Angels were. These were people you didn't want to meet. And yet they rode all over town, you know, in the Riverside where I grew up, out in the desert, you know, even over to the coast. And you were aware of this sort of thing, but I had never met anyone. I mean, crazy story. At our youth department at our church once, they had a county coroner come talk to the youth about, you know, if you don't live your life correctly, here's the kinds of things that can happen to you. And then start showing slides of various terrible things and telling us stories. And many of them included the motorcycle clubs, these outlaw gangs. And it was sobering, I'll tell you that, but it had no life to it.
Right.
And what I get in talking with you and reading the books is that there is an option. There is a life choice that needs to be made. And you know, I think the thing that most impressed me about learning a little bit of this is that it is its very own society.
Right.
It is it's not just a club, an organization. These are people who have chosen to hang together because they belong.
Mm-hmm.
And they get that sense of purpose and direction and identity from the club.
Very much so.
Yeah.
See, there's a camaraderie, a brotherhood
yeah.
that's real. And people desperately want that. You know, we want that in our church family. We want that with our friends. And these clubs, the one percenters, is what the outlaw world is. And that comes from American Motorcycle Association. I believe it was in the early 70s. Say,
okay.
We represent 99% of the motorcycle enthusiasts in the world. So the other 1% is the fringe, the outlaw.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, some of my best friends are outlaws.
Yeah.
They mean what they say. And there is a code.
There's a code, yes.
You bet.
What I picked up.
And it's real. And we need to take that as Christians. We need to look at that and say, if these guys can be this down for someone, for a family, for a brother, why can't we?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a sad day when we have to go out and see it in the world and say, we need to be more like this. They're not going to leave you. They're going to be with you. So.
Yeah. Well, our very special guest today on Basic Gospel is our longtime friend, John Andrews. He's the author of the series of books called The Outlaw Preacher and by various titles. And we encourage you to go to our website, basicgospel.net. You'll see the entire range of the books, four different books. And the latest one is called The Reckoning. And we very highly recommend that you pick up these books, and if you click one of the links, either of the links on the homepage there, it will take you to the author's page, and then you'll find a link to Amazon.com, and you can order the books there. But we encourage you to do that. They're very, very. I was very encouraged to read what goes on in these motorcycle gangs, and it is, as you say, that code just really threads through the entire series, and it is a sense of belonging that most of us don't have probably.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons, I mean, you've heard us say this several times this month in looking at the Reformation, because tomorrow is actually the 500th anniversary of Luther's pounding the 95 Theses on the door, All Hallows' Eve. And what comes out of that is the idea that you just can't be silent any longer.
Exactly.
We're not called to be followers of Jesus Christ to crawl into a hole and pull the cover closed and wait for him to come back. We get to represent him in a real world with real people with real problems. Most of the problems I can't fix. None of us can fix. But we're in relationship with these people, and what are we going to do? Are we going to just smile at them and pat them on the head and walk away? Or are we going to get involved and have the conversations and figure out that, well, this wasn't threatening to Jesus, it's not threatening to me. Now, that doesn't mean we all head down, you know, as a group to the closest biker bar and say, let's all talk about Jesus. That would be stupid. But we are called to wisdom in our relationships, and we're called to truth in our relationships. Jesus is the wisdom. Jesus is the truth. There's no other option. You know, if we bring anything else to the table, it seems to me we're shortchanging the people we think we're helping.
Yeah. Bob Christopher asked me to pose a question to you. He says, if a reader wants to take a ride with the outlaw preacher, what do you expect that reader to gain out of that?
A ride, hopefully he means by reading the book series, not just
probably.
An actual ride. If he wants a ride, I would just tell him to come on down.
Or yeah.
Jump on. Tell Bob it's good to hear from him. What they're going to gain from this is to realize that the grace of God transcends all situations in the world. There's nothing that can thrown at God where he's going to go, oh, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
That any issue that we face as humans, relational, whether it's a club or a marriage, you know, that God's grace is sufficient. And I believe that in these books with these stories, you know, these stories, Richard will tell you, they get a little hairy. In the middle of it, sometimes you wonder, what in the world? But we try to wrap it up where, you know, God is glorified, that nothing is going to trump God, his word, his grace. And these guys that think, you know, their problems are insurmountable, they've done too much, they've sinned too much, they've been too bad, that none of that. I mean, God's just, it's dust off his shoulder.
Yeah,
it's no
absolutely.
Big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. When you come to realize that you are a forgiven person.
Yeah. There we go.
it really does change, doesn't it?
You mean all? Total? Total forgiveness?
If it's not total, what forgiveness is there?
Exactly.
Exactly. So one of the things I've liked about the books, all four of them, is that you deal with the wrestling that a child of God goes through between the flesh and the spirit. Lead us through some of that and how you chose to go ahead and write that stress and how it works itself out, because it's not always, you know, daisies and buttercups.
No, it hopefully ends up that way, but certainly in the middle it gets a little gray, it gets a little tumultuous. Mm-hmm. And actually writing that part of the books is the most fun for me. I have turmoil. I've had this in my life where you want to give up, but there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And as a Christian, now you've got to, the rubber has to meet the road.
Yeah. You know?
We have to trust God in real trust, reality, not just 10 to 11 on Sunday. Praise the Lord, brother. Just don't get in front of me in the parking lot on the way out.
Yeah.
You know,
or at the restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, so writing that to me is the reason for the book. I will often have an idea. Sometimes I have a scene that'll come to me, and I need to write a whole book to get to that scene. Mm. Because that has to happen. I've got to get to this scene because this is going to be the breakthrough for someone. And so you have to kind of surround that scene with a story. And so for me, that's it. You know, God is able. You know, he is enough. And I know you're just fresh off of the reckoning, so you know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
As far as the struggle. But that's real.
Yeah.
Because we all have these thoughts, we just don't necessarily act on them. It takes a lot of guts to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And trust God. Because you only see what's in front of you. And we're just not equipped to be very good at faith, I don't think. I mean,
no.
It's easy when things are going great. But you have a blowout on the 101 freeway in Los Angeles.
Oh, boy.
At rush hour. We'll see how calm and collected you are. It's just when things get crazy. It's like, this is when you need to know. We've exhausted everything. I don't remember who it was. I said, you know, I've tried everything except for Jesus and you guys. So I called the radio station. I was like, yeah. Dude, that might have been your first call, you know, but we don't.
And we never do.
It's lean on your own understanding. And if that doesn't work, which it doesn't, and you find out finally, then you go, well, God, I was on my way to you anyways, but funny thing happened on the way.
Yeah. Funny.
Yeah. In the previous book, The Hero.
I didn't write that book.
Yeah.
I don't know who got in there.
The Hero has a complete breakdown.
Meltdown, we call it.
Meltdown. Yes, yes. Morally, ethically, you know, and here's this guy who's a pastor.
Pastoring
400 people, and it just loses it. Now, we don't have to get into the details. I want you folks to read the book. You'll love it. But talk about how you chose to bring resolution to that situation and why you chose to do it, because this could speak volumes. Many of you out there are at churches now or have been at churches where your senior pastor or one of the pastors on the staff went through stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
How were you going to deal with it? Talk about that a little bit.
I'm never sure about who says these cool things, but I remember the cool things. It says the Christian army is the only one where we shoot our wounded.
Yeah.
And so many times we see those people who put their pants on one leg at a time, but we think they're elevated to some deity status because they're the pastor. And they can't do anything wrong. They can't have bad thoughts. They can't have a bad day. But the reality is all this stuff continues to happen to all of us. And the book's subtitle is Redemption. And I even had to remember that as I was writing it, because it kept going down and down, which was fun. As a writer, I'm like, you know, we're going to take this guy down. And kind of sadistic.
He deserved it.
He did. My wife, I love her to death. Her favorite the favorite thing she said to me about this book was, I don't like him and I don't like you for for making him do it. And I'm glad she told me that, because I knew I got to her. Yeah. If you're a reader, you're going to continue. You have to find out, you know. And the redemption part, and without giving it away, is that if you hang in there long enough, it's like water skiing. Like right before you let go of the rope and say, forget it, you get up. And you just got to keep trusting God. And I think, you know, so many people are trying to be lone rangers for Jesus. They don't have the brotherhood. They don't have the camaraderie. They don't have the fellowship. They don't have a support mechanism that church is supposed to be. Without judgment, without gossip, you know, without prayer chains that turn into gossip chains.
Yeah.
That you know that Bob's got your back. Richard's got your back. There's no question. I can come to you, you know. That's what I'm trying to say in the books, through the club life, through these guys, that, you know, together, I mean, you know, in that book, everybody was after this guy.
Yeah.
You know, even his brothers. They were trying to save him from himself. Mm-hmm. That happens every day out here, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, one of the things I think we do a disservice to the Word of God, to the Bible, is that we don't dive into the negative stories.
Right.
We really don't pay attention to David's failure with Bathsheba or his failure with his own kids when he should have been disciplining. He ran away. We like to talk about Peter. Oh, yeah, Peter denied. Now, think about that.
Right.
Think about it. What changed Peter from who he was to who he became? What changed Saul from murderer to purveyor of the gospel as no one else has ever done it before or since? Those stories are there so that we understand that it's truthful.
Right.
Not to hide the truth, but to say Jesus is better than all of this. He is more powerful than all of this. Like you said, it's just so much dust on his coat. I mean, there's nothing here to be threatened over. There's nothing. And among ourselves, there's nothing to be threatened over. And so that is the thing I like most about these books, is they're real. I may not like what you wrote about certain people or certain situations, but I recognize that stuff. The reason I don't like it is because I recognize myself in them. And you know, this series of books, I can tell you, have changed people's lives. And I'm going to brag on John a little bit. He got to meet a guy just a couple of years ago who, as a direct result of a couple of these books, started a church. God got a hold of him. He started a church. It's thriving. People are learning the gospel. People are learning the grace of God, the forgiveness of in Christ. That's impact.
Yeah.
And that's what these books can have on you. It's not about the numbers that are sold. It's not about the number you give away. It's the fact that one life can come to Jesus as a result of these stories.
Yeah.
That's more than enough. That's why we do what we do. I know that's why John does what he does.
Absolutely. Amen. And friends, go to our website, basicgospel.net. You'll see all four of the Outlaw Preacher series books, and we encourage you to pick them up. John, there's a special deal that you have on Amazon right now.
Yeah, for the Kindle e-readers, we lowered the price to 99 cents per book.
Yeah.
So you can get them all for like $3.96. I'm not very good with math, but it's right around there.
Right around there.
I'll make up the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so take advantage of that, friends. Go to our website, basicgospel.net, and you click one of the links, and you'll see all of the books right there. It's just a fantastic series. And, John, we're so glad to have you with us today.
So good to see you guys again. Thank you.
Not to detract from what we said about the books, but tomorrow at midnight we have the deadline for the Reformation Project, the DVD series that Bob and Richard did concerning the Reformation. The Reformation Project is what it's called, and with your donation to Basic Gospel this month, by midnight tomorrow night, we'll get you a copy. And all you need to do is go to basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, with thanks to John Andrews and for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.